The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Major spoilers, please.
Let us now do the main show. Hey, welcome everybody to the main Major Spoilers podcast.
Is a general
chat show this week. If you have not listened to the pre-show, well, you're in for a bit of a treat and a bit of a disappointment. Not going to say anything more there.
I think
the bulk of this week's episode is going to be talking about the news that broke today, January 31st, from Warner Brothers, DC Studios, James Gunn, and Peter Safran, as they made their big pronouncements and announcements of where the future of DC Studios is going. These stories came out in a lot of different ways. The big announcement was actually made on Monday to select reporters, and they were under embargo until this afternoon, about 1 o'clock, I want to say, when the news started spilling out about maybe noon Central Time, when the news started spilling out about what was going on. And so I'm just going to kind of pick these up a little bit, and we can kind of discuss them and spill them out. I guess one of the things that I do want to say is that everybody is pretty hot about The Flash. James Gunn said, I will say here that The Flash is probably one of the greatest superheroes ever made. Gunn said.
At this point, it would have to be.
Well, and then they also went in and they addressed the fact that Ezra Miller is going through treatment, that they recognize that they have a mental disorder and that they are seeking treatment for that. And so maybe that's the big brush off, but James Gunn said, this is probably the greatest superhero ever made, and it will be the reason why everything that we're able to do afterwards is afterwards. And to that, I will say the Legion of Superheroes movie, which comes out, animated movie, which comes out on February 7th from Warner Brothers Animation, uses they are now in the Tomorrowverse. It has a completely different look and style than what has come under the Bruce Timm led Batman animated series universe, or what we consider the DC animated universe. That Bruce Timm universe, or the DC animated universe, ended with a Flashpoint event. So it will not surprise me now then if the Flash is going to be a Flashpoint event that allows them to, from this, they say the Flash transitions beautifully into the Blue Beetle, which then transitions into Aquaman 2, which then transitions into their next wave of stuff that is coming.
I knew it had to be Flashpoint, because that's all they will do with the Flash for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally all that the Flash can be anymore. And that's fine. Jeff Johns, you wrote a story. The story is there. Stop it.
I mean, it's been 10,000 years and we're still doing Crisis on Infinite Earths. Comics are a wee bit stagnant.
I bought that issue off the stands.
I know. Sorry. I think Rodrigo's saying you're old.
I'm saying we're all old and we've seen this story 10,000 times.
Yes.
How about that?
So a story we won't be seeing, of course, is the Batgirl movie. And they did address that. And it was, I think this was Schaefer saying this, a lot of talented people were involved in the Batman film, but the film was just not releasable. It would not have been able to compete in the theatrical marketplace. It was built for the small screen, which my understanding was it was going to go to HBO Max. So again, I think it was not an easy decision, but they made the right decision by shelving it. And I think what they really meant to say, Peter Safran, meant to say, was by destroying it and taking the huge tax write-off on that, which is interesting that if they say that it would not have been able to compete in the theatrical marketplace, I think that's interesting. And I think somewhere else in that, in the statement, they said it would have hurt everyone involved, meaning both the who's the woman that plays a Batgirl in that?
I can't remember.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. But her and, of course, the whale actor who is up for all of these awards right now. Yeah, Brendan Fraser is also in that movie. They said it probably would have hurt him as well, as far as marketability and those kinds of things. So
Leslie Grace,
that's her name. So Safran then went on to say that the Batgirl character will inevitably be included in our story. And James Gunn reiterated that later in both videos and in other places, saying that we are going to expand the Bat family going forward. And in regards to the films that have been canceled, especially the Batgirl, that they are going to try and keep around as many of these people as they can, which we can get to talk about here in just a moment. But any thoughts on this Batgirl movie? Do you feel now more or less vindicated that this Batgirl cancellation was a good move or a bad move? I'm still in the Zaslav doesn't know what he's doing camp.
I mean, it's been.
It is.
Like, them being like, listen, this would have never been able to compete in theaters. And people being like, but it wasn't supposed to come out in theaters. Never would have competed in theaters, as you know, which was the plan. Do not pay attention to the mm-hmm. lamps. Mm-hmm. They are not flickering.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Even if it's true, even if we say that every word of that is 100% gospel truth, no chance of any type of, you know, questions, and everyone involved is speaking the absolute truth. You can't do it now and have it be meaningful. You can't say that after the way this was presented. I don't know. You know, I can't say the way it was handled, because we've only heard hearsay, although a lot of the hearsay has kind of dovetailed together and told the same story. But it's one of those moments where, you know, Brer Fox didn't even want those grapes, and just don't throw him in that terrible, you know, tar patch over there. And I'm just like, the way that's presented, with the concern or faux concern for the people involved, I feel like actually makes it worse for me. I feel like if it's true, yes, fine. I feel like there's still you should have, you know, plan 9 that movie out into the world. But if it's not true, it's incredibly insulting and condescending to everyone involved in production.
Well, it depends on what they mean by marketable, right? I mean, I don't think that they're saying that everybody was poop and the whole thing was poop, that the actors were poop or anything like that. It's just that
in its form,
it wasn't marketable, and it would have hurt everyone involved.
Yeah, it's a very political way of putting it. Recently, so just to catch everyone up, WotC walked back their deal, and they're allowing the D&D's old gaming license to stay. Mm-hmm. They're not going to try to get rid of it. And the statement they put out was like, yeah, we listened to you guys, and I know that you guys were very upset about this draft license that we had created, and it was just a draft, and now we've listened to you, and it's great. But that's not true, right? That's, they're lying. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. like, when they're like, yeah, you know, when James Gunn comes out or his part of his crew, and they're like, okay, well, we want to move forward with our projects, and their project, like, it wasn't James Gunn that canceled that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can say it was James Gunn that canceled Wonder Woman.
All of that stuff.
You can say that.
Yeah.
But that stuff happened before James Gunn was brought on board.
Same way with announcements about the cancellation of Doom Patrol and Titans on HBO Max. That was before Gunn.
Yeah. Yeah. They're mm-hmm. sitting there with this thing that people are still upset about, and now they have to put some spin on it. So they're trying to make the pill easier to swallow. But I don't know. I like maybe I just don't trust the corporate speak of it. But I'm like, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, they're lying.
We have,
like,
always loved Rodrigo. Rodrigo was always great for Major Spoilers. We understand that Rodrigo has now gone off to pursue his own career choices, and we wish him luck.
That's right. Smash cut to me like being shot out of an airlock, right? By the way, as we were discussing this, I got really distracted because I looked up Batgirl. Mm-hmm. And Stalker Chan, it says Stalker Channing played Batgirl, and I was like, what? And then I remember she plays Barbara Gordon in Batman Beyond, so
yeah,
Stalker Channing was Batgirl, but not really.
Yeah, that'll sink in your memory and creep out and surprise you in some dream in about 5 years.
I mean if you put some bad ears on Rizzo, right? I think
she pull it off.
Yeah, she'd be fine.
1979, you
know, yeah definitely.
All I'd say is that Rodrigo Lopez is the kindest, bravest, warmest, most wonderful human being I've ever known in my life.
Yeah.
Off topic very quickly. I had a dream the other night where, listen, no, this is weird because I just mentioned things are going to creep excited into your mind. So I had a dream and my wife came up to me. She's like, hey, listen, I no longer want to be a nurse. I want to go back to school and become a massage therapist. And I was like, yay, free massages. And she was like, no. And so when I woke up, I was talking to her about it. I was like, so I had this really weird dream. And I told her what was happening. And she's like, do you remember when you and I first met that I told you that if I wasn't going to do nursing, I was going to go back and become a massage therapist? And I was like, I don't remember that. And it's just weird that something 20 years ago that she told me once finally filtered up through my brain. So Stalker Channing as Batgirl may not be tonight, may not be tomorrow night, but it will happen.
They're going to see it.
Yeah. So back to this again. Any other thoughts on the Batgirl thing?
No, probably just not. We're never going to see it, and they're big liars.
Oh, no, they've already deleted it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, dear listener, I know what you're thinking. What about Robert Pattinson's Batman? When will we have a Batman 2? Again, probably out of the guns' hands, but Batman 2, Part 2, with Robert Pattinson and Matt Reeves, will open in theaters on October 3rd, 2025. That is interesting for a couple of things that I'll mention in just a moment, but there are, and I believe that, that this Batman 2 is also not a gun decision thing. I think this was a Zaslav or whoever was before him thing that they were going to move ahead with this. But one of the things that James Gunn and Safran announced was that their first quote unquote chapter of this new DC Studios is going to be called Gods and Monsters. And so there are projects that are inside the Gods and Monsters chapter that we'll talk about here in a moment. But everything that is outside of that, everything that's a standalone property, like the Joker 2 movie that's coming up and the Batman Part 2, those are going to be part of a new branded DC Elseworlds category. So if you're wondering how they can justify having a Joaquin Phoenix movie coming out again and have a Robert Pattinson Batman coming out again, it's all part of this Elseworlds branding, which if you remember what I said a little bit ago about the Legion of Superheroes movie, how it falls into the Tomorrowverse category.
Tomorrowverse.
No, that is the name of that new area, not DC animated movie or DC animated universe anymore. Their new thing is Tomorrowverse, and everything that's outside of that is categorized as standalone so far. It will not surprise me to see that those animated movies will also, that are outside of that realm, like a Batman, a Solo the Dragon, become part of the DC Elseworlds category of branding.
Continuity is just the worst,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like them saying like this idea that is like, this is how we justify them not being interconnected. It's like, you know, like how do you justify that Indiana Jones doesn't mention Remo Williams doesn't mention Indiana Jones once in his movie, right? It's like, they're not connected.
Right.
Right.
That like movies are not connected. They don't have to be connected. Why do you have to justify where it fits in canon? Like, yep.
DC properties have been in film since 1941, and never have we had to explain what happened to Kirk Allen.
Yeah, nobody.
All of a sudden, it's like, oh wait, now it's George Reeves. What? How are we supposed to get used to it?
The main rebuke to that, Matthew, is those were not things that were coming out at the same time. What we have right now is we have a Flash TV show and a Green Arrow television show and a Stargirl show and a Supergirl show that are not referenced or clearly not part of the big theatrical universe stuff. So what they're doing here is they're trying to create something similar that I've said years before. Maybe if you just put a little sticker on your comic books that told us what Earth we're in, it would make a whole lot more sense to people. So what they're doing here is they're doing that with the movies. There's stuff that is in the James Gunn, Peter Safran universe of stories that are interconnected. And then there's everything else that is the DC Elseworlds. So I think that that's a fairly easy way to kind of keep those separated. So if people are like, so does this follow what happened that I saw in that Superman Legacy movie? No, this Batman is a different universe or a different story. It's standalone.
Sure.
And I think that makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, it does. It makes sense. I'm just saying this idea that movies have to be interconnected. Like, okay, so here's my overall big thought on this DC stuff. Like, a lot of the projects that they're talking about sound actually very cool and exciting,
mm-hmm.
and would have been great to have seen 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like I more and more, I think, you know, like everybody wanted to be the one who would like predict that people would get sick of superheroes. Mm-hmm. But I think that more and more people are just kind of, if not getting sick, then getting used to Marvel movies,
mm-hmm.
and DC coming out and basically saying, okay, we're going to do what Marvel's been doing and we're going to plan all this out. Just you wait. I feel like we did for too long. And now, you know, when that comes out, is it going to be any good if it's just the same stuff that Marvel's been doing, right? It's like the Marvel universe has a homogenizing effect on its movies. Like, yeah. A lot of the movies start out weird and interesting, and as it goes, they basically get end-gamed into sausage. Like, everything just kind of comes out looking the same. So, mm-hmm. starting out a universe and being like, okay, from the very beginning, we're planning to do this, it's like, yeah, and is that a good thing? And, of course, I'm over here just screaming, no! No!
So, here's the thing. Gunn did come out and say that he believes superhero fatigue is a real thing when it comes to movies. But he says the reason why isn't that people don't want superhero movies. He says it's because of the lack of care given to the writing process, which is why I think the Batman 2 announcing that it's coming out on October 25th is really funny, because they did make a point in saying that, and this is from a Variety, Gunn says, quote, people have become beholden to release dates, to getting movies made no matter what. I'm a writer at heart, and we're not going to make movies before the screenplay is finished.
Well, that's good.
And so he's like, here's our slate of projects that we're doing. We're not announcing a release date. Oh, except Batman 2 comes out on October of 2025. That's for sure. Right, we know
that's
that.
Out of his.
Yeah, I think that's probably out of his, or it's already far enough into production or whatever. But I kind of like this idea that we're going to craft stories, and we're going to make sure that the stories work before we say a release date, or before we say that we're making the movie, or, you know, before we announce a time that you can go and see it. And I'm trying to find the actual story in here where he names some of the people that were in the writer's room that kind of crafted this 10-year vision. And the interesting thing is that a lot of the people from a lot of these other canceled projects, including Batgirl, Christina, I forget what her last name is. She is now part of this. She was in the writing room helping to craft what this vision is. And so it's like, even, and you know, they've, I don't know, this could go back to what you said earlier, Rodrigo, about, you know, they're just speaking this, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the mirror thing. They basically were like, we know that Henry Cavill said he was back as Superman, but we didn't really mean that he was back as Superman in our stories, that he was just back as Superman in the Black Adam garbage movie. Yeah.
Garbage people.
Yeah.
Liars.
But, you know, they said they're very open to working with any of these actors again in other roles. And there's a, I think we talked about this last week or something, that there's better than good chance that Jason Momoa, while he may not be playing Aquaman after Aquaman 2, he might be playing Lobo in a movie.
You know what? It would be really funny if they talked Henry Cavill into coming back as the Atom.
Yes, that would be funny, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be funny. So here, oh, I found it. Gunn brought together the writer's room of Drew Goddard, who did The Martian, Jeremy Slater, who did Moon Knight, Christina Hobson, who is The Flash and the Batgirl writer, Crystal Henry, who did Watchmen, and comic writer Tom King into this. And we'll talk why Tom King specifically in just a moment. So
if they make Heroes in Crisis into a movie,
no, that's not what it is. It's something that I have been talking about for 2 years. And Scott Johnson and I had a lot of text messages back and forth this afternoon about one of these announcements. And I was like, Scott, I told you in 2021, you need to be reading this series. And I told you again in 2022, you need to be reading the series. And he's like, yeah, I saw the announcement. I finally downloaded it. I'm going to read it. So let's see. Here is what the plans are going forward. Here are the movies. This one also has a release date, which I think is very funny, but it may be because the story is almost done and he feels pretty confident about this. If you follow James Gunn on Instagram or Twitter, the July 11th, 2025 movie Superman Legacy will be the start of the new DCU. It focuses on Superman balancing his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing. He is the embodiment of truth, justice, and the American way. He is kindness in a world that thinks of kindness as old fashioned. And if you follow Gunn, you know that he has tweeted a picture of All-Star Superman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you guys think about that. He says Superman is for everyone. Yeah. That's a four quadrant film that should speak to everyone in the world. That's who Superman is.
Yeah, I like I said, I am excited about these projects. Like, these projects are exciting, and it's nice for somebody to be like, hey, how about we make a Superman movie where Superman is like kind, and where that's the whole point, right? Mm-hmm. I'm completely on board for that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But what about this? Go ahead, Matthew.
I feel like the message is in keeping with that image of All-Star Superman. Mm-hmm. I feel like All-Star Superman is not the perfect example of what he's describing, but it's definitely an example of a story that shows what he wants, which is part of the problem that I've had with previous creators in the DC universe. They're like, I want to tell this epic, cool story. I want to tell this story of hope and goodness and mm-hmm. good triumphing over evil. And it's based on Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Return.
Right.
Oh, no. But let's say, Matthew, you do want some grim, dark superheroes in your future. Oh, what if you were someone that's like, bring back the Snyderverse, and James Gunn looked down and said, no. Instead, he said, well, how about the Authority?
That's where you bring back Henry Cavill.
Maybe.
You put him in a wig and you make him Apollo.
Maybe.
Well, and the Authority, they've said, is going to throw in a bunch of Wildstorm characters, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can make him that green guy who's like really muscular and has like purple spikes coming out of his back. Is that from Wildstorm?
Yeah, that's Maul from the Wildcat.
Ah, there you go. You make him that guy.
So, yeah, he says that this is going to be very different. It's not clear cut between good and bad. Peter Safran said there's, quote, they're kind of like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. They know that you want them on the wall, or at least they believe that. The film is being written now, but he declined to say who was the screenwriter. Oh, by the way, Superman Legacy being written by James Gunn. Obviously, until the script is ready, no word on directors or people being cast there. So Superman Legacy, The Authority, no release date on that, obviously. Then, Matthew, we got to have some more Batman that's inside the new Gods and Monsters storyline. So we're going to get The Brave and the Bold.
Diedrich Bader.
Well, probably not, but it will introduce the Bat family. This is where we're going to see the Bat family being introduced through this. And how are they going to do it? by introducing the first live action Robin since 1997's Batman and Robin. And, you know, I'm just going to have to give in to people's decisions. This is going to be Damian Wayne. And so we're looking at a Grant Morrison run of Batman and Robin kind of in this. Gunn says that that Robin is our favorite Robin, or Damian Wayne is our favorite Robin. He's a little son of a bitch, an assassin, and a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where's my Nightwing?
That's what I think.
Well, so if we look at that first Batman and Robin run, obviously Batman finding out that he had Damian was in the pages of Batman, right? Mm-hmm. But by the time they were in their first Batman and Robin book, it was Nightwing under the cowl for that first bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, bring back Chris O'Donnell.
Maybe
he played Night Robin Bat.
Yeah.
So the story that I told Scott Johnson for 2 years that he needed to be reading, and Matthew and I reviewed on an episode of Dueling Review years ago, and that I have loved since page one because it features the brilliant art of one Bilquis Evely, is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, based on Tom King's comic book. They're going to just take that and adapt it, which I think is interesting because Tom King said, yeah, basically this is True Grit with Supergirl. So I think, you know, the story writes itself in that case. What do you guys think? I love Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Listeners, if you haven't read it, go and read it. The art is fantastic. The story is very much a revenge-driven plot. We get to see a Supergirl that is off-planet, so she's not affected by Yellow Sun. So, you know, she's out there wanting to get drunk, and she wants to go out and do things that she can't do on Earth or that her powers prevent her from experiencing. And because she has a different upbringing from Superman, her little cousin, she views the world just a little bit differently. And again, that's brought up in the new Legion of Superheroes movie coming out next week from DC, DC animated, DC Warner Brothers animated. Rodrigo, you haven't checked this out at all?
The comic? No, yeah. I haven't read it.
Oh, shame for shame. Well, hey, here's the good thing, ladies and gentlemen, because in March, so you've got just a little under a month, 30 days, whatever, we will be doing an entire month of Superman stuff. So on March 7th, we will be looking at Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. On March 14th, we'll be looking at Superman, Shazam, First Thunder. And then we will be looking at March 21st, Superman Up in the Sky. Rand did say he wants to be part of all of those episodes with us. And then on March 28th, we will come back for our next general topic show where we will talk about all of our favorite things about Superman. So I'm looking for that. So, Rodrigo, you will be reading this sooner than later.
That's good.
Bruno, or would you please leave? No, please leave. Go on. You're usually very much better at this. Go on.
Mojo. I got to say, I did not expect it to be Steven's cat.
No, it was, I heard that and I'm like, is that Dot?
No. So Mojo, he's not been allowed into my office since we got Bruno, because then it's an invitation for Bruno to come in and chew up wires.
Hey, we don't talk.
So about, yeah, we don't. Yeah. Right. I don't talk about him. He does show up on my Instagram quite a bit, though. But Mojo has gotten to the point where he'll come in and he'll peek around that chair. You know, the one that you used to sit in, Rodrigo. He'll peek around that chair to look at me. And the minute I catch him out of my eye, all I normally have to do is just point my finger out the door, and he gets this sour look on his face, and he'll just turn around and walk out without saying anything.
Yeah.
But now tonight, something is upsetting him because he's in here wanting attention. So
how old is he?
Sorry. He is old. He's probably 9 or 10.
9 or 10. Yeah. He's a middle-aged man cat now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just wants to come and hang out with you and talk about how things used to be better.
Yeah. Oh, no. Believe me, we hear all the time about how life used to be better before that other thing came around. So anyway, dear listeners, sorry you guys had to hear that. We are back into the next big announcement, the final big movie that they have announced for now. And that is a movie adaptation of Swamp Thing, where we're going to bring in the dark and the green into the DCU.
Yeah.
You excited about that?
Yeah.
Bring back Dick Durock.
I don't think they're going to do that. Here's the thing.
I am interested in Swamp Thing projects.
Yeah.
That I think is an important thing that most people don't recognize, is that because for so many years, DC and Warner Brothers were afraid to admit mm-hmm. that their characters came from comics, that Swamp Thing, who you can do, oh, we're doing this weird Swamp Thing series, and you can pretend that there's no comic book attached to it to be embarrassed of. Swamp Thing has had two movies, two cartoons, mm-hmm. a series of toys. I mean, he is a higher profile character than many members of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you counting the most recent TV live action?
Oh, shoot. Three now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had at least two cartoons. He had the live action show. They had the live action movie and another show. And then another movie, Adrian Barbeau.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Definitely, Swamp Thing has a better like adaptation pedigree, like you said, than a lot of other DC Comics characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think more people know Swamp Thing than Firestorm. Sure. I think more people know Swamp Thing than even Supergirl in some way. Because
a lot of people probably know Swamp Thing more than they know Green Lantern. Honestly,
yeah, maybe even Flash.
Yeah,
I don't know about the Flash.
Well, the Flash, yeah, the Flash has had his own TV show for a while.
Yeah,
yeah, but not.
I still haven't watched the ninth season.
No, he did have a TV show in the 90s.
So, Swamp Thing will investigate the dark origins of Swamp Thing through the prism of horror. This is very much more horrific film, but we'll still have Swamp Thing interact with the other characters. And by that, I think he means other characters in the DCU, which makes me think Ram V is going to have an announcement that he hasn't said anything about yet. Or he's going to say, hey, I'll be flying to California very soon. Ram V is currently writing, or was just writing, the Swamp Thing series over at DC Comics and turning it into a really good horror book, right, Matthew? You were reviewing that.
Yeah, the new Swamp Thing book is pretty solid. I mean, it's hard to surpass, you know, Len Wein. It's hard to surpass Alan Moore. But when you can do something new and fresh with Swamp Thing, that's harder, I think, than doing something new or fresh with Batman or Superman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice.
So this does give me hope. I mean, obviously, they're not saying who's writing this or who's involved in this. It wouldn't surprise me to see Ram V come in on this. The fact that they have Tom King working on the film adaptation of his comic book gives me hope that James Gunn understands that maybe we shouldn't poo-poo on comic book writers. Maybe we should welcome them into the creative process. And so I'm very excited about that.
Gunn seems to get that, I think. So that's good.
Yeah. So that's the movie side. What about television? Because The Flash is ending after this season. Again, still haven't watched that. Probably won't. As I mentioned earlier, Doom Patrol has been canceled because they probably can't afford Brendan Fraser anymore. Nor can they probably, although Timothy Dalton is probably sitting there saying, at least I got more screen time than that other Dr. Fate in the Black Adam movie. Who else is in that? Who does the voice of
Matt Bomer does the voice of Negative Man.
Negative Man. Yeah.
There's
somebody else in there who's like, no,
who is,
yeah, it's
giant
it's
lady. Elastigirl.
Who plays Jane. Elastigirl is April Bowlby, who I only know as one of Ted Mosby's ex-girlfriends. And then Michelle?
No, it's Diane Guerrero is
Diane Guerrero. Thank you. She's
and who plays Cyborg?
Artist.
Okay, so that show is canceled at the end of the season. The creators did say, "Hey, we're very thankful that HBO Max has told us that this is the final season, so we can wrap up all the storylines." Same way is true for the Titans series, which is also coming to an end after this season. Same response. We're allowed to wrap up the storyline the way we want to see it. So
Joy Van Wade
leaping off a building and going, F Batman.
So, you know, they are pretty much shutting down. There's no word on what's going on with Harley Quinn, the animated series, although that's not a James Gunn thing. We do know one of the very first television series that they have announced is Waller. Season two of Pacemaker has been put on hold because Gunn is working on Superman Legacy. So instead, we're going to have Team Pacemaker appear alongside Viola Davis as a continuation of the Peacemaker show that we've already seen, and see how she controls characters in the DC universe. This is the one with Crystal Henry will be part of the writer's room on this one. Now, Jeremy, go ahead.
Are they getting Angela back?
Wasn't it Viola Davis is the one who's going to be playing?
Oh my God. Yes. Angela Bassett played the one from the previous Suicide Squad. My bad.
Yeah.
Are they getting Viola Davis back?
Yes. That's the only actor that they have confirmed for anything right now is for that. They're already working on it. So that is already there. The other one that was announced was Creature Commandos. And this is an animated series for HBO Max. It was the first project that was greenlit by the creative team of Safran and Gunn. Gunn has written every episode of Creature Commandos. The show is already into production. This is basically monsters fighting Nazis in World War II.
Yes. No one's ever heard of the Creature Commandos, but basically it's a Frankenstein, a Wolfman, mm-hmm. a Dracula, a mummy, and a Medusa.
There's going to be really some other people in there. There are also Rick Flagg Sr. is going to be part of that. Weasel from the Suicide Squad will also be in that.
Well, yeah, because James Gunn has a little brother and that brother's got to eat.
And here's the interesting thing, which caused a little bit of controversy among some people on Twitter, is that James Gunn sees the television, the animation, and the movies all being very fluid with one another. So from what I understand that he said was that we will see characters that are in animated movies like Weasel go into animated movies, go into live action movies, go into video games and everything. And it'll be the same voice throughout that, which on the one hand, I don't have a problem with because, depending on who they have as Superman or who they have as Wonder Woman, I'm sure they're going to do a fine job of doing the voices for their characters in the video games and in the animated world. Some people have a problem with that, though. I think that those concerns are unfounded personally, but I think that that's an interesting desire and hope to ensure that people are around for a while longer. One thing he may not be aware, which I'm sure he is aware, but actors don't like to be typecast. And as Ashley has told us in the past, if you get tagged as the same character for multiple different parts, for multiple times, that price goes up. Look at Robert Downey Jr. So,
I mean, yeah, absolutely. That's the number one reason why I think this is probably not going to work. Mm-hmm. It's like Gamora, a lot of people were voiced by their actors in Marvel projects or there's cameos or whatever, right? But like Gamora in What If wasn't Zoe Saldana.
Right. Captain Marvel was not Brie Larson.
Yep. So, and part of the reason for that is scheduling. And the other part of the reason is that, every consecutive project increases the price tag for that actor.
Here's a little known fact. The only character that will be weaving between animation, live action, and video games is this one character called Weasel.
Because James Gunn has a brother.
Yeah.
And that brother got to eat.
Oh, speaking of Green Lanterns, Matthew, that there was an HBO series planned from Greg Berlanti Productions that was going to be the Green Lanterns series. Greg Berlanti, for those of you who don't know, was the mind behind the entire CW DC verse, the Arrowverse.
If you will.
So the Arrowverse is done, and so is apparently this Green Lanterns series. They didn't mention the Penguin series, which is a spin out of the Batman movie that's supposed to be standalone at HBO with Colin Farrell. They didn't mention that today. So I don't know if that is something that is outside their scope at the moment, but they did say that they are planning a show called Lanterns. It's a TV series that will pair Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan as a pair of lanterns who are on Earth to investigate a mystery that will play a bigger role in the greater story that they're telling across their film and television universe. They equated this to that the Lantern series will be very much like the True Detective TV series on HBO.
What I want from Lanterns is I want it to be an episode of 1997 Cops.
So I want there to be like a camera crew.
I mean, that would be interesting, John, right?
And Hal around. And that's why it's called Lantern.
That's probably not what they're going to do. If you've ever seen True Detective, then you should. The first season I thought was wonderful. Second season is rough. The third season they try to bring it back around and it does okay. There is apparently a fourth season of True Detective in the works, but it's been like 3 or 4 years. But the first season with
doesn't it have like Woody and All Right uh-huh. All Right
and season one? And season one is okay. Just brilliant. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole of conspiracy and Cthulian mythos throughout that first season.
I remember you gushing about it in 2015, but
yeah, it was really good. So
we got a call that Despero is running around naked in this trailer park.
If they really wanted to do it that way, like Cops, then they would really need to bring in Kevin Rubio to do that. And the only reason why I say that is Kevin Rubio years ago, this was like the early days of the internet, the early days of putting your fan films online. Kevin Rubio did a take on Cops called Troops, and it was Stormtroopers doing Cops episodes. So like,
yeah,
they're on Tatooine and they're like, yeah, we got a couple of Jawas here. Oh, look, that one's running. And they shoot him in the back and they pull over. I think they do something at Aunt Peru and Uncle Ben's ranch too, or their farm. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great
that's
thing.
That's actually how Aunt Peru and Uncle Ben get killed.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do that,
I would totally bring Kevin Rubio on board to do that.
Galactic Sector 2614.
But I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's going to be pretty serious. And of course, you got Hal Jordan and John Stewart, who are kind of they're both military guys, which I think is interesting. But they are both very different takes on what it means to be policemen. And so I think you're going to get that True Detective, that 48 or not 48 hours, the maybe a little 48 hours with less racism.
Seven
Lethal Weapon. Yeah.
I think like a seven thing where you're like Hal Jordan ends up being the, you know, Morgan Freeman character.
Yeah. They said Greg Berlanti's vision was more of a space opera. Ours is more True Detective, terrestrial base investigative story. Then we have their answer to Game of Thrones, and that is Paradise Lost, which will take place on the island of Themyscira before the birth of Diana, a.k.a. Wonder Woman.
Because Batman had Gotham and Superman had Smallville, and everybody should have a show before the show.
Oh, speaking of more Greg Berlanti shows, Superman and Lois, not long for this world, according to Variety. Meaning that they may have one more season in them before they're shut down.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people like it, but again, we can't have too many Superman shows running around and cause brand confusion with people.
You literally just said it's all Elseworlds.
Yeah. No, it depends on how they brand it. But it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see Eklund, isn't that his name, Tyler Eklund? Doing something more as Superman.
Sure. Tyler Hecklin.
Yeah. Whichever Hecklin he is.
He's a pretty solid Superman. I like him as 90s style super dad Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the weird thing is the reason why he probably won't be is because they did say they were casting way younger for Superman.
Tyler Hecklin is like 33.
I think they're talking about 19, 20 year old.
Well, that's not Superman.
They gotta get somebody.
He's an adult. He's over 18.
Somebody who's gonna sign a long contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Get Paul Rudd. That man doesn't age.
The final. Well, there is some thought that a lot of the people that are in Guardians of the Galaxy cast, James Gunn might be talking them over into the DC universe, and we know that
Yondu's little sidekick.
Nah, that he'll kid. Never go anywhere. That guy was
that no kid. Good.
Yeah. No, but we were just talking Dave Bautista this is his final bit as Drax in the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and that's the end of his contract. If you're not gonna have Jason Momoa as Lobo, I can see him as a Lobo character.
No, what you do is you cast Henry Cavill and Dave Bautista as the Midnighter and Apollo.
I mean, that would be really good too.
The leads of your authority movie.
Or no, you just have Henry Cavill and How do you like them apples? As
Matt Damon,
not Matt Damon, the other one,
Cyril O'Reilly.
Yeah, that one.
Driver.
Yes, you have Minnie Driver and Henry Cavill as your Apollo.
Minnie Driver and Henry Cavill. Yeah, and they'll be English. See, yeah. So it'll be less of an Apollo and a Midnighter and more of a Fortnite.
You know what I'm talking about?
Do I?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, you do. Finally, the final TV show that they announced is Booster Gold. A loser from the future who uses basic future technology to come back to today and pretend to be a superhero.
Booster Gold.
Pretend? What's that?
Booster doesn't pretend.
Yeah, he
does. I mean, he's not good at it, but
no,
he's
he
not
pretends that he's he doesn't come back and say, people from the past, I have come from the future with technology that gives me superpowers. No, he comes in and says, I just have superpowers. He doesn't reveal that it's based on future tech.
That doesn't mean he's pretending to be a superhero.
That
means he's pretending to be a superhuman, but I mean, I don't think Booster pretends to be a superhero. I think that that's a misapprehension, and it's a Jeff Johns nonsense. Booster is a good guy who's just...
Well, I don't think Jeff Johns is going to be too involved in DC Studios.
No. Yeah. Every single thing that we have talked about thus far has story points touched by Jeff Johns in one way or another.
Yeah, but it's real easy to just say, hey, new toy box, new toys. I get to do whatever I want. Here's my concern about Booster Gold. Booster Gold is traditionally a comedic story, right? And that can be done well because we know that James Gunn can do comedy. He can do, we've seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. We know what he can do with that. We have seen Peacemaker. We know what he can do with losers who turn around to be really good people that we can like. And we can interject a lot of comedy into that stuff. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that James Gunn is writing the Booster Gold series. My concern is that they're going to turn it into Powerless. You guys remember Powerless from NBC?
Yeah,
that was
Powerless didn't have a budget. Part of the reason that Powerless was such a pain in the neck was because, you know, it was like...
But they also tried to yuck it up way too much in that show.
Powerless had the best intro of any show of its generation. So
I
good.
I feel like saying that Booster is traditionally a comedic hero is also not something that I can get behind, because Booster Gold season 2 or series 2, like the Booster Gold run from 2006, written by Jeff Johns, was all very serious. It was all
I'm talking about I read Booster Gold in its original editions, Matthew, when
was
because blah 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 and doing the doing and the blah ha ha and just
and
lying.
He wasn't a blah ha ha.
No,
Uncanny Pizza Team.
I will pick you up and hit him with you, and you'll both be unconscious, and it'll be my show. Booster Gold Volume 1 was not a comedy either. You're thinking of Justice League International Booster Gold.
So, but this is my concern, is that even if they decide to go with Blahaha era version of Booster Gold, that they yuck it up. And there's a lot more to Michael Carter than just the yucks. And I'm not saying you have to be dead serious. And I really honestly do not think that the fingers of Jeff Johns are going to be in these pies as much as people think they are, as much as people hope they are. But I'm very concerned that they're going to, since this was the last thing announced, that this is going to be the one that also gets the least amount of money and turns into Powerless. Cause that would be bad.
Hmm.
No other thoughts? What do you want to see, Matthew, in a Booster Gold television show?
What do I want to see in a Booster Gold
television show? No, not who. Show? What do you want to see in it?
I didn't say who. What do I want to see in a Booster Gold television show? I want to see...
No, who do you want to see as Booster Gold?
I will end you. I want to see either. I feel like either the take that we got in like 2006, where it's like everybody thinks he's a goober, but he's really secretly like working behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't ever tell us that he's doing
it. Yeah.
Or I want to see Booster Gold as like a flat out
uber capitalist tech bro jerk.
I don't think they'll do that.
Who ends up doing good in spite of himself. No, I think.
When do you want to see Booster Gold?
What?
When do you want to see Booster Gold?
3:30 p.m. on a Thursday.
How do you want to see Booster Gold?
Visually.
Why do you want to see Booster Gold?
I don't. Why do you ask me these questions?
Well, because I already covered the who and the what.
Which do you see,
Booster? Now we need the why and the when and the how.
I'll do you one better. Which is Gamora?
Nobody cares.
Wherefore art thou, Booster Gold?
Wherefore art thou, Booster Gold? Okay, so those were the big announcements. What's that?
That was a good fart, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. I'm going to keep you around. Dear listeners, you can join the conversation about these stories and more over in our Discord server. You can join the Major Spoilers Discord server for free. And we would love to see you join our growing community of awesome spoilerites all over the world. Boy, you can jump into the Discord server via the link in the show notes. Cat gifts. And I think today, what was it? It was something else, some other gifts that were awaiting people that I thought were very clever. And somebody joined whose name happened to rhyme with Imhotep. And so we get some of those things popping up there. So join. Also, a big shout out this week to Ben Martin from the UK. How do we know that Ben Martin is from the UK? Because his email address ends with .UK and he's paying in pounds instead of euros. So welcome, Ben, as one of our newest patrons. We are waiting to give you, dear listener, a shout out on the show. All you need to do is join us, patreon.com/majorspoilers, where you can hear our Major Spoilers pre-show this week. It's not as exciting as what we had planned for you or what we were working with you, but it's still fascinating nonetheless. The Great NATO writes in today. Thank you, Nate, for writing in to us. Hello, Major Spoilers crew. I tried to call the Major Spoilers hotline, but keep getting a busy signal. I thought that was still a thing. I don't think it's a thing, to be honest. I don't think I have seen a bill from Microsoft in a while saying pay for this Skype number. Anyway, I have two questions for all of you tonight. Some of the independent comic creators I support have been offering a metal variant cover for some of their comics, actual metal binding or binded to the comic. What are your thoughts on this?
What kind of metal?
Yeah, is it like a chromium treatment?
Probably.
I would want to know.
I don't think it would be tin or gold or anything like that.
See, but that's your problem. The same metals that would be the cheapest to use for binding are going to have a deleterious effect on even the best paper that you have inside.
And interact with the atmosphere.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's going to rust. I mean,
you
want a rusty comic.
I mean, if you look at the Statue of Liberty, turned green. And that actually protects the copper underneath. If you have a metal that is actually reactive and paper that's reactive, you may end up with a comic book that, you know, turns purple or bursts into flame or, I don't know, sends out some weird gases that causes the next zombie apocalypse. But on the other hand, if it's something that you're like, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's a neat cover thing and it's not going to cost you $13.99. It might be fun. I mean, I still have some indestructible Tyvek cover somewhere.
Yeah, I don't really care. If you want to buy them, buy them. It's up to you.
Gimmicks are weird like that because it really has to be something that you think is keen.
Right. It has to be like the blood of Kiss was actually used to print this comic. Right. Hey, it's that kind of thing.
Or
right?
That glow in the dark Ghost Rider issue 13.
Or that glow in the dark. What's his name? Neuron cover. Or that one issue of Eclipso where they actually had a little plastic gem glued to the cover.
To the front of it, ruining the comic, every comic in front of it, every comic behind it, and any binding that you use to attempt to store that comic. Yep, I remember those.
So here's the thing, and this is something that I don't know if I've really addressed in great detail, but, you know, we have talked historically about in the 90s, this flood of variant covers and how the flood of variant covers was created to create an altered sense or a false sense of what comics values were and trying to get people to chase down all those variant covers so that you could just say that you sold more stuff than anyone else. And that was one of the leading factors that caused the collapse of the comic book industry in the 90s. The comic book industry didn't go away. but certainly it shrank quite a bit in the 90s. And I think we can all agree that the variant covers played a part in that. For a long time after that, you may have gotten one or two variant covers, and that was only on big titles. In the last, I don't know, Matthew, 4 or 5 years, because we used to joke about this on the Dueling Review all the time.
Yeah, maybe even 10. I think Bob Kirkman started it.
He may have started it back up, but I mean, really seriously, in the last 4 or 5 years, the number of variant covers from the big publishers has exploded exponentially once again, to the point where I've been thinking about doing this and then I never do. But now I know I have at least 6 months of data to back up any claims that I make. I go through and I create the solicitations for, each publisher each month. And DC Comics right now appears to be the one that's like every issue has at least 3 variant covers in addition to the main cover. And I want to say that there are more variant covers released from DC Comics than there are actual titles being released from DC Comics in a given month. Meaning that every single title has at least 2 or 3, sometimes 10, and they may only be releasing 50 comics that month.
Right.
And it's weird. You know, I've been doing this also. What was the other place I was doing it where I was saying, here are all the Bat Family titles that are being released from DC this week. And there's like
9 of them were Batman.
Yeah. 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 So Ken, you're saying it's independent comics can do whatever they want. I want them to survive. But I fear that the variant cover resurgence is for some people a frightening indicator that we are going to see a collapse once again, or a shrinkage once again of the comic industry.
Definitely variant covers can be a bellwether of ill tidings. But 90s variant covers weren't the first. I mean,
they certainly weren't.
Variant covers really kicked in right about I think the first one was John Byrne's Man of Steel #1. And at that point, it was that variant cover drove people to pick up more than one copy. And so at that point, it was just like, hey, you get the issue you can read and you get the issue you can put away with the cool, pretty cover, which that's not necessarily to me a bad thing. But when you get to a point where Gen 13 #1 has 15 variants, you're like, OK, well, first of all, you've broken the cool 13 thing that would have made sense. But you're also to the point where there's no point in this. There's no kill but overkill. I can't remember how many variant covers there were for Walking Dead #100, but it was something.
Oh, it could have been easily been 100 covers. We'd have to go back.
But I also feel like that was an example of, Kirkman being exuberant and crazy and over the top and just yelling Kirkman and doing whatever he wants.
There were only 12 variant covers for Walking Dead 100.
There you go. But if you get to a point where, they're trying to say, hey, Darth Vader volume 7 #1, comes with 9 different covers and each one of them is a different part of Anakin's life. That's one thing,
When the new 52 launched, they had their flagship title of that had 52 variant covers.
Right.
And when, didn't they do an Avengers thing the same way where it was, here are the 50 US state Avengers. Avengers
#1. Yeah. US Avengers was a specific United States team and it had 50 variant covers with 50 Avengers.
And of course,
that was both. That was clever and terrible over the top.
Yeah.
With any sales gimmick, I feel like it's the gimmick in itself is not the problem. If you start to see the people, if you start to see sellers going, oh my God, you have to buy $100,000 comic, it's going to be worth it forever. That's the point where I feel like the long-term health of the industry is about to have another 1996.
And that's my concern. And that's why I look at these things as not a go out and panic mode, but a, hey, this is an indicator. Be on the lookout for this. Action Comics #1050, which came out in December. Granted, it's got a 50 on it. So it's apparently a milestone issue. 24 different covers for that one.
Well, and 1050 is actually marked down from 1099, so it's actually a bargain.
Now, here's the other thing that is that I will say that's a good thing about variant covers is they are meant to incentivize the comic book retailer to order more comics, because if you order 25 copies, you can get this John Boy Myers Superman comic. But if you own, if you order 1,050 copies of Action Comics number 150, we will send you one copy of a Jim Lee variant cover, which looks really cool. And so the comic store owner says, okay, these are going to be non-returnable. Most of these are going to go into the quarter bin or the dollar bin at some point. But that Jim Lee cover is so rare, one in 1,050, that I know that I will be able to put it on the top shelf and put a $700 sticker price on there. And somebody is going to want to buy that and pay $700, thus offsetting the, you know, however much money, the $400, $500 that I spent on 1,050 copies of Jim Lee's on Action Comics 1050. And what's that?
It's not sustainable. That's
like, no, it's not sustainable, but I understand the sentiment of, you know, if someone walks in and they see a lot of Superman on the stands, maybe they'll pick it up because there's a lot of them here. It must be good, kind of thing. But I understand it's a way to incentivize and reward comic shop owners. But you're right. When you have 25 or 24 variant covers, and that's just one of your titles for the month. And here's what is this one? This one is Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths number 7. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's got 13 variant covers. Uh-huh. You know, you're right. That is not sustainable. And eventually you go, you burn yourself out because of a bunch of comics were sold. Bunch of comics didn't. You sold them to the retailer, but they didn't sell to the public, and now the retailer is angry because they can't sell that $700 copy of the Jim Lee Action Comics 1050. And so they the next time a big thing comes up with, you know, 50 different covers, they're not biting on that. And so your sales go down and your industry goes
poo-poo.
Yeah. Yeah. Rodrigo, Matthew and I've been talking. Do you have any thoughts you want to here? Here's Nate's second question. Would you buy a mainstream or independent comic with a metal cover?
No.
I might just for the novelty of it, or if like maybe when you shake it, it makes a weird noise.
I'm afraid that I'm going to cut myself, or one of these days I'm going to be going through the airport and the airport alarm's going to go off, and then I have to go stand in that awkward scanner.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I have had so many paper cuts where I've hurt myself and then tried not to bleed on a $100 comic from 1977. If you give me a metal comic cover, my first thought is going to be, no, I don't want to open a vein. I feel like that's just, it will hurt me. I'm not comfortable with that. That's
And definitely that's the deal, right? If it's significantly more expensive than a regular comic, again, like, maybe for the novelty of it, but if it's like very expensive, then no, definitely not. If it's just kind of a little bit pricier and I want to, you know, stick a magnet on the back of it and pin it to the fridge and then tell people like, oh, no, this is a magnetic comic.
I guess my big question about the metal that's being used is it the kind that blocks nuclear radiation? Because then I might start collecting a bunch of those so that line my basement with these, hang them up. And then when the nuclear war eventually comes, I'll be safe in my basement because these metal comic book covers save my life.
I feel like you don't want that because that metal is lead.
Yeah, but I mean, depends on the radiation, right? Like some radiation you can block with aluminum foil.
And keep in mind, Stephen and I grew up in the 70s where lead paint was called wall candy.
Eating lead chips was, you know, lead paint chips was like your snack on an afternoon, a pile of radishes and a pile of paint chips.
Yep. That's all there was.
That's all there was. And Jell-O pudding pops, but, you know, I wasn't allowed to have those. And now, neither is anyone else. Okay, I think that's where we're going to wrap it up this week.
The rest of the nonsense story.
That wraps it up for this issue. Thank you so much for listening. If you found value in the show, we would love for you to join us on our Patreon team, just like the great NATO, just like our new friend, Ben from the UK. Yeah, we want you to join us. Find more. Patreon.com/majorspoilers. Next week on the Major Spoilers podcast, what are we talking about? Oh, Teflon Funk. I have no idea what it is, but I like the title. It's from Dark Horse Comics, and we're going to read it next week. Why? Because we know that you love comics, and we do too, and we will talk with you soon.
Fat the X-ray vision of Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic bookstore guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Find a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Start raving, it's like a man of iron. Might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. Would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun V in the Middle East with a gang sign throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler, whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.